The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Oh, going back now at this stage, 8 years, we've had all sorts of speculation as to whether the government would get a 13 billion euro windfall from Apple taxes following a European Commission decision. It's been backwards and forwards. It's been in the courts. But Daniel Murray, policy editor of the Business Post, is today's decision the final word? The Court of Justice at the European Union, does this mean that this is all settled and done now, that the Apple money has to come to Ireland?
It apparently does. It's the end of a very, very long legal process where the European Commission's original ruling was backed by the European Court of Justice today, resulting in Apple having to repay 13 billion, actually what's grown to about 13.8 billion back to Ireland. So certainly the European Court of Justice's decision today backed that finding by the European Commission that the unpaid taxes from Apple totaled to 13 billion back in the 1990s and the early 2000s. In its original ruling, the European Commission had found that two tax rulings by revenue had substantially and artificially lowered the tax paid by Apple, and that was because intellectual property licenses held by Apple companies should have been allocated for tax purposes here in Ireland. So the government now has a 13.8 billion headache, but it's not a bad headache to have because it has to try and find out where and how it is going to spend this money, whether this year or in the years to come.
Did this come as a surprise to the government? Because to our surprise, we couldn't get a representative from the government to come on the programme and to discuss what will happen now with this money.
Yeah, well, most of them have kind of gone for cover. There was a cabinet early today. The decision came just before they were going into cabinet. There was a press conference just in the last couple of hours with the main ministers responsible for this, Jack Chambers, the Minister for Finance, and Pascal Donoghue, the Minister for Public Expenditure. I think there was surprise in official circles. The soundings last night when there was anticipation of the result this morning was that it was going to go in Ireland's favour. But that is not the way it went, and that there was surprise in government buildings that it has.
Sorry, Daniel, you see, I think a lot of people listening will say, hang on a second, it did go in Ireland's favour because we're getting the 13 billion, but yet that's not necessarily the way the government sees it.
Well, it's certainly not the message that the government is putting out. You know, they're putting out that though they accept the ruling, it's something that they're disappointed by, and they're insisting that Ireland isn't a tax haven. But absolutely, as you say, this really arguably is a win-win for the government. They've stood by Apple, you know, a very important multinational, and in many ways they've stood by all multinationals in standing by Apple over many years, showing that the Irish government and the Irish state is a kind of a loyal and a good jurisdiction for these multinationals to locate in. And at the same time, the judgment has gone in its favour from a financial point of view, and it's going to have a windfall of close to 14 billion that it's going to have to choose where and how it spends.
Indeed. Well, lots of people, as you can imagine, Daniel, are texting in, as they've been posting on social media today, as to how many bicycle sheds this money would actually pay for, because it seems that there's a degree of scepticism as to how well the money would be spent. And the National Children's Hospital has been cited by a lot of people coming online as well. Jack Chambers, I think, at the press conference earlier said the money wouldn't be available to the government for some time, and it wouldn't feature in the budget calculations. But why not? Surely, given that it's been resting in an account, all you need to do is press a button and hey presto, the money transfers to the Exchequer.
Apparently it is slightly more complicated than that. There is a process for transferring the money over, and there's a chance that could take up to 6 months, so it would be into next year. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, the money, when planning for budget 2025, really they're looking at the available money for 2025 and 13 billion in additional money on top of, remember, projected surpluses for next year would really give the government more wiggle room to be able to spend this money in budget 2025 if they want to do. However, an important point, and this is something that was highlighted by Taoiseach Micheál Martin early on, this is a windfall. It's a once-off income and therefore can't be committed to recurring spending because that would be very dangerous for the public finances. So the trick for the government is trying to find a way to use this money in a kind of a once-off or in a very kind of temporary way while also not adding to inflation, which is another risk of spending this volume of money.
Yeah, but surely isn't that easy? This is something we'll put to Dan O'Brien and to Piers Doherty after 5 o'clock when they join us. But I can think of lots of infrastructural projects. For example, there's money budgeted to pay for the metro. But you could then put this money into the pot and then you could move the money from the metro to do other things, such as buildings, for example, the Cork-Limerick motorway, or putting light rail into Cork. There's all sorts of infrastructural transport issues that could be done. You could use the money for the water network in the country. You could do it for the electricity to speed things up in new capacity for electricity. Isn't this almost like a once-in-a-lifetime lotto win for the Irish government that can be applied to doing lots of good things?
In many ways, you're right, because the infrastructure deficits across all those areas, energy, housing, water and health, are really affecting the competitiveness of the Irish economy. So using a windfall like this on capital expenditure, which tends to be kind of once off in nature or across 1 year, makes sense. But the government would probably argue that there's a danger in putting a large volume, additional volumes of money into capital expenditure when the economy is already running at capacity. We've record employment levels, record low unemployment, and if you put additional public spending into infrastructure when the economy doesn't have the capacity to absorb it, then it can just result in price inflation in some of those key areas, and that would obviously be the biggest waste of the money. So that's something that the government has to be very careful of.
The flip side of that, Daniel, is that we're already experiencing capacity constraints, and the bringing more jobs into the country, more multinational investment, keeping the Apples and other companies here is dependent on having the proper electricity structures, having the right water structures, that these are investments that have to be made and we can't make an excuse. And the other thing is, anyway, not all the money gets spent in one go. It gets spent over a number of years. So surely that's perfect.
Yes, and something like that could work, or even putting it into one of these future investment funds that the government has set up. One of them is specifically for the purpose of infrastructure, and it's kind of a backstop that if the economy ever hits the skids, then infrastructure funding will still be available, because as we know, capital funding is the thing that gets cut when economies tend to take a turn. So that could be an option for the government. That infrastructure fund is set to grow to about 14 billion over the next few years. An additional 14 billion in on top of it, that could grow to 30 billion, and a strategic plan to deploy it over 5 to 10 years and build up the capacity in the economy to deploy those projects would seem to be the most common sense thing to do.
Daniel, there's quite a few listeners saying, give us back our USC. And I was doing a quick calculation. I reckon you could get the best part of 3 years without USC with this money, but that isn't going to happen, is it? Because, as you've said, they're going to treat this as money for capital investment rather than for current spending.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you cut taxes, it's almost like a recurring expenditure, because it takes that money permanently out of the tax base. So this money is not going to be used for something like that. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't be used for other types of once-off packages that do put money back into people's pockets. We've seen quite a number of once-off cost-of-living packages that are very much not once-off in nature, because they've occurred three or four times now, and the government is plotting another one of those for budget 2025 to be paid out within this year, budget 2024. But that's expected to be in excess of about 1 billion for this year's cost of living package. The truth is with the volume of money that's come in from Apple, you wouldn't even be able to come up with enough measures to be able to put all of that money back into people's pockets. And anyway, a similar issue as before, if you did put that much money back into people's pockets in one go, it could result in serious inflation in the economy. So those are the kind of constraints facing the government. It's not just as straightforward as getting the 13 billion and giving it back to people.
Thank you very much, Daniel Murray, policy editor of the Business Post. Lots of suggestions coming in from you. Now, a lot of you saying the government will find ways to waste the money, but here's one that says more SNAs in classes, smaller classes, grants for schools. Another listener says time to invest it in third level education, where an awful lot of the university professors are saying there's major shortfalls at present. Another one anyone here that says the additional money should be spent on iPads for all the schools. I think that might be a little bit sarcastic. Give €2,800 to each individual in the country, says listener. Maybe it's a good idea. It's not going to happen. That will not be given that way. Spend it on a London-style tube system. Another one says they could use the money for 24/7 cardiac care in Waterford, which the whole South East would benefit for. Paul in Cavan says, would love to see some of this used to build the Virginia bypass. And here's a question. Who earns the interest while this money has been sitting in the escrow account? You're not going to believe this. There was actually more money than there is now in the account originally. But what happened was it was invested in Eurobonds and they've gone down in value. So there's been a bit of a drop over the years in the value of the money sitting in the account. We have two guests with us. In a moment, we'll talk to the economist Dan O'Brien. But first, Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD and finance spokesman. Is this a good day for Ireland that there's an extra 13.5 billion or so of money available to spend?
Absolutely. It's a good day. And in any other scenario, you would have a government minister after a government minister and probably the Taoiseach even wrestling the mic to try and get on your show to tell the Irish people how good a day this is. But the problem is they've got serious egg in their face because not only did they call this wrong all the way through, but they went to quite sufficient lengths to actually make sure that we never got a penny of this money. This 13.8 billion euro now that is deemed as lawfully ours should have been paid to us throughout this period. And not only did they argue that we shouldn't get the money, they spent millions of taxpayers' money, your listeners' money, into giving it to lawyers and to consultants to try and argue the case that not a penny of this money should come forward. So I'm not surprised that they're licking their wounds today and not showing their face in relation to this type of debate.
But Piers, deliberately or not, may they not have actually played their hand particularly well in that they managed to stay on side with the multinational sector who in the last 8 years have paid colossal amounts of corporation tax to keep the country ticking over, kept on side with them and at the same time are now in a position to go, well, look, sorry, lads in Apple, we did everything we could to try and support you, but look, we have to take that 13.5 billion now and spend it.
Look, Matt, I seen you tweeting, I think, earlier on about that, and that really just stretches credibility to suggest that this was kind of some master plan of the government. They didn't just, you know, pretend to fight the commission to make sure we never got this money. They spent millions and millions of euro in relation to fighting this. Like, this isn't small potatoes. This puts the bike shed into the halfpenny place. They squandered, they wasted millions of euro trying to make sure that we never got nearly 14 billion euro of taxpayers' money that was always lawfully ours. There is not a finance minister that I know in the world that has actually tried to do this anywhere in the world where they've tried to actually waste, make sure that we didn't get nearly 14 billion euro of money. So, look, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael got their way, we would be nearly 14 billion euro worse off today. Thankfully, they didn't. Thankfully, the courts upheld the decision of the commission and overturned the general court. And Sinn Féin had called this right all the way through because there was a deal here. It's clear from the evidence that was provided by the commission. But more importantly, why did we ever even find out about this? The reason we found out about this is because Richard Bullock, who was the head of tax for Apple, went to the US Senate where there was hearings. He gave sworn testimony that there was a deal arranged with the Irish authorities that made them pay tax of 2% or less. Now, when we got all the facts put on the table, we know that that 2% didn't even exist, that it was a lot less than this. And what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael spent millions of euro of money, of taxpayers' money, trying to defend is that two registered, incorporated Irish companies here who recorded profits of 104 billion euro wouldn't pay any tax here in this state, or indeed didn't pay any tax anywhere in the world. And thankfully, they lost because the winners today is the Irish taxpayer, and the winners here are other companies. Other companies who didn't get this deal, you know, like companies in my constituencies, companies that, you know, people that are listening to you didn't had to pay their 12.5% tax. Some companies that went to the wall because they had to make sure that they paid the revenue and they weren't able to continue to survive. So this wasn't acceptable. It shouldn't have happened. It caused us major reputational damage. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael continued that damage by trying to defend the indefensible right up until this week.
Dan O'Brien, you're an economist, but do you have a view on the way this has been handled politically?
Well, if the government hadn't taken this case, it would have been effectively an admission of guilt. So on that basis, I can certainly see why the government took the case. And then secondly, and more importantly, in terms of Ireland's economic model, not letting any doubt arise in the minds of multinational companies that Ireland was not going to bat for them in such a case would have raised questions in their mind and probably would have undermined to some extent Ireland's location, Ireland's attractiveness as a location to invest in Europe.
So from that point of view, might it have been the right thing to do? Because as Pearce has pointed out, 13.5 billion euros, an enormous amount of money that could have been used very productively in the last 8 years.
Yeah, indeed. Like, clearly there's a windfall benefit for Ireland from getting this money. But there are also wider downsides from the loss of the reputational loss to Ireland because of this. It'll raise resentment towards Ireland, both in Europe and probably more importantly now in the United States, about profit shifting. Because despite a lot of talk in Europe, European governments are not really being affected by this. The government that's been affected by this, by the shifting of profits, is Uncle Sam, the American government. And if opinion turns in America against that, and if domestic legislation in the US could be agreed to halt that or make it more difficult for American corporations to shift profits abroad, then that's where Ireland is really vulnerable, because we've become so dependent on those revenues from particularly American multinationals.
Okay, let's move on to what will be done with the money now. Pearce Doherty, you've only had since this morning confirmation that the money will be available, but you probably had thought previously of what you would do with it if you had it. If you were the incoming Minister for Finance and you had access to this new additional money, what would you do with it?
Well, first of all, the country is recording massive surpluses. So it's not a case, like, if we were to have this discussion, Matt, back in 2014, when the Commission came out and said that this money was owed to us, then that's a whole different ballgame. Because at that time, there were actually cuts happening. We were coming out of the austerity period. Remember, when this tax was supposed to be paid to us, you know, governments, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael governments, different governments were cutting blind pension, were slashing home help hours, were closing hospital beds. So, and at that time, there were no surpluses. So there are surpluses here. It's not a case that we need this money to do X. We can fix the housing crisis if you implement Sinn Féin's plan. We can actually start to fix health by making the proper investment. But look, this is an additional windfall. And what we need to look at is the infrastructure that makes Ireland competitive. If you talk to businesses anywhere across the state, small or large, the first thing they will say to you is the housing crisis is causing serious pressure in relation to them being able to attract inward investment into this country. To make sure that we have the apples of the future, we need to make sure that we deal with the housing crisis, we have the proper infrastructure in terms of being able to connect to the grid, and we have the type of climate change measures that we need to make sure that we are that those are sustainable. So this type of investment needs to be about capital investment, needs to be about one-off investment, and needs to make sure that we catch up where we have lost out so far from that last decade of austerity.
How quickly would you spend the money, though? Because there is a concern by IFAC that if you try and spend too much money too quickly, what you'll only do is you'll actually restart inflation again.
Well, as I said, Matt, before this windfall came down, this judgment came today, Ireland is already projected to make billions of euro of surplus. So that's money that we are not going to spend, we're taking in that we're not going to spend. Indeed, last week's revenue figures showed that we're probably going to take in billions more than we even expected these large surplus to be. So our alternative budget will be very, very clear. We want to see, as you would have heard outlined in relation to our proposals last week, we want to see 39 billion euro spent over the next 5 years to end the housing crisis for once and for all, to bring home ownership within the reach of ordinary working families. And when you think of this, in 2014, when TD after TD after TD voted up, including Fine Gael, Labour Party, the Greens, the Labour Party and the Independents to actually take this case, at the time, if this money was available to the state, we could have built tens of thousands of homes. We wouldn't have the scandal where we have thousands of children in emergency accommodation tonight. That could have been prevented, but this was reckless behaviour by
okay, but let's talk about though what can be done with the money. Dan O'Brien, how do you think this money should be spent, or should it be spent? Because there's quite a few listeners actually saying, put it in a savings fund for when we need it later. Use the existing surpluses for investment and take this windfall as a saving.
Yeah, well, it should be said that you mentioned IFAC, that the official government finances watchdog has been very critical of the government for breaking its own rules on overspending already, even on the basis of current plans. So adding more to that would clearly, the budgetary watchdog would clearly be even more critical of the government. Now, look, there's no doubt that there are infrastructure bottlenecks, and there are areas where we do need more capital spending. So I think everyone would agree that this should not go into current expenditure. So we shouldn't lock a one-off gain into, you know, public pay rises, those sort of things. That everyone, I think, pretty much agrees that.
Dan, or maybe USC cuts. There are people saying that, you know, the USC was brought in as an emergency income tax measure, that the emergency is over now, that we're running big surpluses. And there are people saying that, well, hang on now, surely we can afford to forgo the $5.5 billion a year that comes in USC.
Well, so 5.5 is an annual loss. It's not just a one-off. So there is a case to be made to say that taxes should go back to where they were pre-crisis, as spending has long ago gone back, has gone above pre-crisis. But that's a separate argument. You certainly wouldn't fund a permanent tax cut on the basis of a one-off windfall gain. So if it were to be spent anywhere, it would have to be on one-off capital measures. Now, there is, as some of your listeners have said, the government has set up these rainy day funds, and at least a portion of it, I think it would be prudent to put most of this money into rainy day funds, because let's remember, Ireland is completely off the charts when it comes to our dependency on foreign companies paying profit tax. There is none of our peer countries that are anywhere like this. Now, something that is very, very unusual tends not to last. Sooner or later, we're going to go back towards the average. Now, nobody knows when that's going to be, but we are now extremely dependent on the profit taxes these multinationals pay. That won't last forever, and we've got big things changing coming down the line, the pension aging issue and the green transition issue that will need to be funded. We don't know how much money we're going to have in the future. We've had this windfall tax, save most of it, would be my advice.
Piers Doherty, you're a Donegal TD as well as Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson. There's quite a few listeners getting in touch saying that they want this money used to pay for the MICA redress. Would that be a good use of money as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, absolutely, and Sinn Féin are committed to ensuring that there would be 100% redress and that people are able to live in their own homes and rebuild their own homes, which the state, again, was negligent of, that allowed for products that are like Weetabix. They're crumbling in your own hands of being in those homes. So look, there's a number, as I said, even before, but let's be clear, because even before we had this windfall, we could do that if the political will was there. So the priorities in the next number, in this budget, in the upcoming number of years are this. Of course, we need to deal with the defective block and make sure 100% redress. We also need to make sure that we have our capacity in our hospital. That means building additional wards in terms of capacity in our hospitals and dealing with the housing crisis. They're the areas where you have one-off spending. The reason we have these crises in the first place, Matt, is because the government turned off the tap. The government didn't build the houses that were needed. That's why we have a housing crisis. The reason we have capacity issues in our hospitals because we don't have enough beds per head of population, and therefore we have the crowding in the emergency, we have people who are dying who shouldn't be dying, and we have all of the other pressures that come in the health system as a result of that. So this is about catching up. We have the resources, we had them before now, but now this decision, which is very embarrassing for this government because the government didn't want this money, the government used their money to try and make sure they didn't get it.
And you've made that point.
Now the excuses are gone. All that's missing now is political will.
And finally to you, Dan O'Brien, would you be concerned that when we do have this much money to spend, that we won't get value for money? Because a lot of people are saying we could have worse than the National Children's Hospital or the bicycle sheds, that governments with lots of money to spend don't necessarily get the best value for it.
That's certainly an issue, and there's a general inflationary pressure. We've got very low unemployment. You put more money into the system and you're going to get further price increases. So there's definitely going to be part of it. If you do spend extra money, part of it's going to be lost because of inflationary pressures. You're going to push up prices. So that is a factor to be considered as well.
Thank you very much for that. Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, and Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and Finance Spokesperson.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.